On ABC Radio Hobart, it's Breakfast with Rick Goddard.
Do you think that there's a gender problem in Australia? Do you think in Tasmania? What about in your own individual world? As part of our Australia Talks survey, 60% of Australians said there was. Now, I wonder, Susan Fahey, hello and welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Lovely to have you here. If you don't know Susan Fahey, she's a lawyer. She worked in women's law for a long, long time and is now a consultant. I wonder if they'd phrased it, do you think Australia's sexist, if people would have been like, nah.
Yeah, they would have been, nah. It's that, I think the word sexist is a little bit like racist. People are like, nah, that's not me. Don't like that word.
But if you say, do we have a gender equality problem, you can go, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And that sexism and a lack of gender equity are a little bit different. I think sexism's a little bit more overt. It's a much more deliberate act, whereas the gender inequity we've got is such an insidious thing because it's just how it's always been. And now that people are pushing back on it, particularly women, people are going, oh, are you calling me sexist? And it's not necessarily that. It's, no, we just want equal seats at the table. People react really strongly to that particular word.
Well, my band practice last night fell to pieces because we ended up arguing about it. There's three guys just going, come on. And it was really interesting because, you know, there was the classic sort of statement, well, maybe it's just swung a bit far the other way and it will equalise. I said, well, there's not five men dying a week yet.
No.
That's when it swung too far the other way, surely.
No. And that's the thing. It's basically that pushback where equality feels like it's taking, you know, that whole thing where people say, you know, it's not a slice of pie. You know, it's equality is just people, women asking for, particularly in this instance, asking for the same opportunities and the opportunity to have the same seats at the table that traditionally middle-aged white men, if we call it, have held. And that's a fairly confronting thing for that said. I mean, I've been appointed to boards and actually had men say to me, oh, that, you know, you're taking position I thought I would get, or I can't get a position on those boards anymore because they're all going to women. And it's sort of like, but you guys have always held those positions. Women could never get on them. It's a hard conversation.
Or into the club.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Or wherever. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned a woman who had a heart attack and that a lot of people don't realise what a big problem, you know, heart attacks, heart disease, even the symptoms for women are different because a certain demographic of men have always done the lead science, done the lead studies, things like airbags are set to your average white male's stature as to where they will come out. Things like stroke and heart attack symptoms, they're now saying, well, maybe we've missed some of the actual symptoms for women because most of the testing's been done on men.
All the mice are male.
Yes. Yeah, so there's an absolute gender bias in so many things that we do.
How do we start to right that then? If you've got 60% of Australians saying, look, there's a problem here, do we see in politics politicians going, cool, we've got a clear, you know, mandate from the Australian people here to get stuck into this and sort this out?
I think we see clear mandates from the Australian public on a lot of things that the governments don't act on. But we've got a unique situation in Tasmania at the moment where, for the first time, we've actually got a female majority across Parliament. So, and listening to, like, Meg Webb, one of her promises going in was, I'm going to actually make sure legislation actually has a lens that looks at how does this impact other members of the community, women, people from the emerging communities, and say, well, does this legislation work for everybody, or is it the same old, you know, this is good for guys of a certain age and a certain ethnic background. So that is a really good thing.
So we can structurally address boards. We can address sort of parliament where there, you know, there's official structures over time. We can make those changes. And while there is a gender pay gap, still it is closing over time slowly. What about things like body shaming, appearance, all of that kind of stuff? I interviewed a really interesting academic who said that open plan officers, much to their surprise, unfairly disadvantage women because women feel self-conscious because they feel they're judged for their appearance. They think about how they dress. They don't want to be rude to the people who stop to talk to them.
Ultimately, it is a lot like, say, the discussion we had around family violence, which involves people pulling people up. And it probably involves having tricky band practice conversations that might blow up where someone might be challenging someone else's ideas, and that can be a really uncomfortable space. I know in my former role, I used to have to challenge things all the time, and I think there was a time where any time I walked into the studio, all the listeners would be like, oh, not her again, because it's an uncomfortable thing. So we basically have to make that concerted effort to pull people up. I have to admit, I watch some trashy TV with friends on Thursday nights. We have a bit of a family dinner and watch The Bachelor. And there was, you know, that made the news. There was the guy who was being completely sleazy and disgusting, and people were pulling him up, like the other guys were pulling him up. And that was, you know, really heartening to see, because in past seasons, which I didn't watch much of at all, you wouldn't see that happen. Everyone would sit there and have a bit of a snigger and a giggle.
So do you feel like the conversation's changing nationally?
It is. It is changing. I think things like, if you look at the stats in here about, you know, the stats here are still a little alarming around how many people blame women for the clothes they wear or shame them for the clothes that they wear. We have seen a big change in media, for example, in how they report, you know, if there's been a sexual assault or a rape. There was a big pushback on, do you really need to say what the woman was wearing? And that is changing, but, you know, that was a slow process.
And I think the other one is about unwanted sexual advances. So 25% of women say they experience unwanted sexual advances. I thought that seemed low. And 5% say frequently. 5% of men say they experience that occasionally.
Yep. Yeah, look, and I would say that is low. I think what you would see with a lot of women, and I would take this from friends' personal experience and, again, former role at Women's Legal, is that if you drill down into that, there's actually a level of unwanted sexual advances that women will tolerate before it actually becomes something they will report on or say, no, that's gone too far. It's usually the stuff that's gone too far or the really overtly disgusting stuff like we saw on the
Not
Bachelor.
Just all the other stuff that's ubiquitous that you're just stuff. Filtering all day.
Yeah, there's a level. Yeah. There is a level of that most women put up with, even in the workplace, you know, sporting clubs, just out in public, you know, just very random stuff that, you know, the wolf whistle from someone or an unwanted advance from somebody on the street that can be persistent. There's a lot of that still goes on, but it's been happening for so long, women are used to it.